I wanted to share with you this morning, and this is a photo that I took at the empty tomb outside of Jerusalem. The Roman Catholics have a place that they call that, but it was within the city, and the scripture seems to indicate that this is outside the city where they went. It's called Gordon's tomb, if I remember right, because some colonel or major Gordon's, somebody found it like that and uncovered it, and everything was there. It was an olive garden. There was a place where this particular stone was. They rebuilt the wall to the left as it's fallen down, but the stone had been carved out and has a track in the front where a large stone wheel was with many men pushing it rolled up, and then they have holes in the wheel that fit into holes in the wall, and a stone wedge was put in there to hold it, lock it up. So then when they pull that out, that would roll down and be a great weight. The ladies were thinking, who will roll the stone away for us when we get there to anoint the body? But I wanted to take us from the empty tomb and consider this morning the one of the meanings that perhaps we have not really focused on before, and that is the resurrection itself declared Jesus to be the Son of God. Let me show you Romans 1:1-4. This is, of course, the very beginning of his letter to the Roman church. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You get that picture that he had a life with many interests and so on, but all of that went away as he was separated to the gospel of God, which gospel he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It was foretold that Christ would come. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, the King James margin tells us that word could be, from the Greek, determined to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead showed God's power, declaring him, determining him to be the Son of God. Let me just share five thoughts, and then we'll be dismissed downstairs for our fellowship breakfast. Number one, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The emphasis here is that Paul acknowledges himself a servant, literally a slave of Jesus Christ, by his call to be an official messenger. The apostle was a word in use in that time, and it meant someone officially sent with a purpose, with a message. And so there could be many apostles for various things, but this was official messenger set apart, dedicated to this good news. Gospel means good news. In the Greek, euangelion. Eu is good, and angelion, like the angel, is message. And this from God. Then secondly, we see that he says the gospel of God. This is not a gospel that was invented by men. It was a gospel given by God, invented by God, this good news. The word gospel, good news, was used in a sense often of declaring the good news that to a city that the war has been won and you will be threatened no more, and people that have been taken will be returned to you. Just great news, news of victory. So the gospel of God means the good news from God. It is good because Jesus completed the plan of God to offer humanity a way out of the condemnation of eternal death and torment, and to offer it as a gift. Sometimes great gifts were offered at a premium price. You had to sell yourself into slavery. You had to give up everything you owned or whatever. This is if you want it, if you accept it. And you and I were, we don't have to do anything bad, contrary to what the world thinks. You don't have to do anything bad to be sentenced to hell. You were born sentenced to hell. You were born in sin. You were born with a sinful principle within you because you inherited it from your first father and mother, Adam and Eve. They were in sin when they began to have children, and all the children were made, as it says of the first child, in the image of Adam. And that was an image of fallen mankind. And so, no fault of us, we were born condemned to hell. It's not a problem of trying to find a reason. I'm not so bad that I'd have to go. It's not about you being bad. It's you being born of sinful parents. The gospel is that God did the work and then offered you a way out. The third thought is this, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The apostle calls the Old Testament, which was as he's writing what would become the New Testament, he was referring to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that was the only scriptures that they had. So God had promised this good news in the Old Testament. We have an example of this, although not all the details, but Luke 24:27, Jesus had risen from the dead. He disguised himself in some way, perhaps took on a different form to speak to a couple of disciples who were just mournfully walking on the road to Emmaus. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the Old Testament scriptures, the things concerning himself." What a sermon by Jesus Christ. The subject is Jesus Christ. The topic is that he had to die to pay for salvation and to rise again to give you a chance at a life that is conformed to his image. That's our topic tonight, that the application for us of the resurrection is the key to defeating sin in your life. Number four, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now he piles up these words, Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gospel is about Jesus, the boy born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, to find out that he's a person of the triunity. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the person of God who became. This word made is the word to become. And so there's something of a transformation there. Eternal God, transcendent God, not made of matter, not made of molecules and atoms, not made of this physical world at all. We understand he's a spirit, but a spirit means something that's not of this world, not made of stuff. So he's a being that exists without bodily form, a great intelligence, a great power of love. And that's the way he existed with God the Father, God the Spirit. And so he became a human being. And the human being that he became was of the family of David, King David, a man that replaced the first king, King Saul. Saul sinned very knowingly against God and against God's command. And so God said, I'm going to find a man after my own heart. I love that thought. David was not a man without sin. If you read the story, you're saying, he was horrible. He did a lot of things bad. Kingship went to his head, really. But in his heart, he was a man after God's own heart. I've always wanted to be that. So, leaving his transcendent state, entering the physical world to allow him to die in our place. The eternal God can't die. There's nothing about him to decay or die, see? So he had to become physical. He had to become a human so that he might die to take our place. And then the last one is this, and declared, and the Greek King James says, determined to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The fact that the Greek means determined means this, it pictures this, that God is pointing him out, determining him to be the Son of God. So God the Father, and I think I can use the word defined, God the Father defined Jesus as the Son of God, raising him, and the Greek here is out of the dead. We get that from the word from the dead, but the idea is very graphic in the Greek, that he had been swallowed, as it were, by death. That body was as dead could be. And he was raised out of that. On this Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the transcendent God, the God that's beyond all limitation. And we celebrate God the Father's declaration that Jesus of Nazareth, a little town, not an important place except for the fact that Jesus was born there, that Jesus of Nazareth is the true God of men's invented gods, and the Lord, the master of all merely human masters. This is the fact not only that he's alive, but that he is declared with such power to reanimate a dead body, declaring him to be the very God of gods. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you might help us to recognize that as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, as we commemorate the resurrection of Christ on this day, we are talking about an event, as Paul explains to the Romans here, that actually defined him as the Son of God. He had said he was the Son of God, and he said he was going to rise from the dead. If he had not, then it would have proven that what he said was false, and that he was not God, to be wrong, to lie, and he was not powerful. But he did rise from the dead, and that with great power, a power that not only reanimated him to normal life, but gave him that spirit body with which he demonstrated himself able to move from one place to another without stepping in between those places. He could just be where he wanted to be. And when the time was right, he could just lift off planet Earth and be carried up into the heaven of heavens. We ask, Father, that you might give us then that glorious sense that we are celebrating God himself, who gave himself for us and proved himself to be what he said he was by the resurrection of the dead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.